Game number 58 for the Boston Celtics tonight in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. This is the Celtics pregame show on CLNS Radio. Thanks for tuning in to CLNS Radio here on the 22nd of February 2016. I am Larry H. Russell, to be later joined by Jerry Zagoda of the Minnesota Star Tribune, getting you ready for tonight's contest at the Target Center, where the 33-24 Boston Celtics take on the 17-39 Minnesota Timberwolves. Tip-off is tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and tonight's telecast will air locally on Comcast SportsNet New England and 98.5 FM, the Sports Hub, here on the local airwaves. The Celtics enter the game as 5-point favorites, over-under of 217. Tonight's officials are Monty McCutcheon, Dave Guthrie, and Scott Twardski. Injuries on the Celtics end. Kelly Olynyk still out with a shoulder injury. Expected to return in early March for the Celts and for Minnesota. Center Nikola Pekovic is doubtful with an injured right ankle, and power forwards Kevin Garnett and Nemanja Bjelica are out for the Timberwolves. Last night, the Celts were victorious in Denver with a 121-101 win over the Nuggets to rebound from Friday's loss in Utah and get their first win after the All-Star break, while the struggling T-Wolves were last in action Saturday night as they lost to the lowly New York Knicks at home 103-95, as the Wolves are just 9-20 at the Target Center here in the 2015-16 NBA campaign. Individually, Minnesota is led by second-year man Andrew Wiggins, first on the team in scoring at a shade under 21 points per game on 48% shooting, and number one overall draft pick Karl-Anthony Towns, second on the team in scoring at 17 points per game, and currently leads the team in rebounding, averaging over 10 per contest. For a more in-depth look at the Timberwolves, let's now get to our guest being presented by Audible. Audible is the leading source of audiobooks online with over 180,000 downloadable titles to choose from, including Bob Ryan's memoirs, Scribe, My Life in Sports. And as a CLNS Radio listener, you are entitled to a free audiobook and 30-day trial, and you can claim Bob Ryan's Scribe and get a 30-day trial all for free by simply logging on to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics. That is audiblepodcast.com/Celtics. Jerry Zagoda, longtime Timberwolves beat reporter for the Minnesota Star Tribune, joins us right now. Jerry, I sit here in Boston. My knowledge of the Wolves is utterly illiterate compared to yours. Just by doing the most basic research of today's game and then by drawing the simplest of conclusions, I see that the Wolves, 17 wins on the season, they've got a young team with some high-end talent on the top of their roster, but then I look at their expected win percentage, that is higher than that of their current record right now. I look at their record against the point spread where the Wolves have 7 more wins there. I then draw the simplest of conclusions that the Wolves seems like the classic young and talented, however a green team, good enough to stay and win games that they should, but a lot of close losses this year. Therefore, I just assume they're having all these troubles that young teams usually have closing out games. Are my conclusions ignorant here, Jerry? And do you want to tell us really the story of what's going on with the Wolves here in 2016? Or am I on to something?
No, that's pretty close to it. I mean, you look at see all the 10-point leads they've had through the year. I don't know the exact number, but it's in the teens somewhere. And, a lot of games they've been in a position to win. They've been up by, 10, 15 points and give it away, and it probably would have been, it would be different a little bit maybe if Kevin Garnett was a little younger, or they played, they do have three or four more veteran guys. They have Tayshaun Prince, who they played a lot more than probably anybody expected. They have Andre Miller, they have Kevin Martin, who really hasn't played a lot for a number of different reasons. But if those guys had been a bit younger, and maybe they would have been tempted to use them more. They've used Garnett, and when he was healthy, he's hurt again now. I shouldn't say he's hurt. He's probably just old with that leg. But he's 39. But they used him and Prince a lot early this season, starting trying to get some stability to this team. But they've relied mostly on three guys who are 20 years old. They've Ricky Rubio. But they've relied on Andrew Wiggins. They've relied on Zach LaVine and Karl-Anthony Towns, and you don't win in this league with guys who are 20 years old. I mean, you look at any of the champions, they're all guys in the early 30s or late 20s, so this team's going to be good, but you're going to have to wait a couple of years.
Yeah, you mentioned Kevin Garnett and what he really meant for this team and what he could have done had he been a little bit younger. Minnesota was in Boston earlier in the year, a game in which the Celtics beat up the Wolves pretty good. But the Wolves are capable of doing some things. You know, that was last year alone. The Celtics were in a similar spot. Gorgui Dieng had a big game, if I recall, when the Celtics were at the back end of a road trip as they are now. I look back at the game against Denver. Boston did get things back on track last night against Denver. But going back to a game against Friday, the Jazz dominated the paint on both ends. Kelly Olynyk is missing the game tonight for the Celtics. He's a real key dynamic more than he is a player, but a key dynamic at least as a threat, as a big guy out of the paint to space the floor for the Celtics on the offensive end. So that dynamic is not there. Could the Jazz with Yang and Towns exploit and then replicate what the Jazz did to the Celts Friday night in Salt Lake City?
Perhaps, although we'll see if Wolves haven't played since Saturday night, but they played Yang 44 minutes in Memphis on Friday, and he just looked a little tired on Saturday. He's still a young guy, 26 or 25, so we'll see if Dave's rest has made a difference. Certainly, you know, they've got some size in there. Towns really isn't, you know, the player he's going to be in a couple of years. He doesn't quite have the strength yet, but still is a, you know, shot-blocking presence, and he could score over either shoulder, so that, you know, they do have 2 7-footers. It'd probably be a little bit different for the Celtics if Nikola Pekovic was healthy, but I don't know if he ever will be again. He hasn't played for a number of weeks now, again, after coming back from Achilles surgery. So, but they do have those guys they've put next to each other, Towns and Zhang, and they have been playing really well the last couple of weeks, particularly in the stretch where they're going into the break, and they won 3 of 4, and then now they've come out of it and lost 2 straight.
What was it during that stretch? You mentioned that stretch where they did win 3 of 4. I believe they had a victory over the Raptors in there during that stretch. What was it that the Wolves did during that stretch that worked out really well for them, and could they possibly do it against the Celtics tonight?
Well, Towns have been playing really well, and I have to go back and look at all the, see if the numbers bear me out, but my sense was that Rubio played pretty well. I mean, you know, he does everything, but he's a liability offensively. He doesn't shoot the ball very well, doesn't finish it very well, and in games where they get something out of him offensively, you know, where they can get 14 points out of him or 19 points, you know, they're a different team. I mean, they're a different team already with him on, just because it's kind of the spirit and the leadership he gives, the way he runs the team. But they really need him not to be a great scorer, but just be good enough so teams, you know, can't just completely ignore him and go under every screen and cheat at him. And if he can give them some offense, they play much better. And I think and the other thing that has been different is they've moved Zach LaVine to play next to Rubio, so he's been a two-guard. They haven't asked him to be a point guard, and he's played pretty well, scored the ball, shot the ball well, and, you know, kind of shows some growth. And that, you know, you can see this sort of launch to him, and, you know, and then he went to Toronto and won the slam dunk competition again, so that probably helped his confidence a little bit. But we'll see how those three young guys, you know, finish the season here. Last year, Wiggins finished it really strong, and so far, Towns has really showed no sign of a rookie wall, so, and you know, and if LaVine can kind of continue to grow, and you can figure out, yeah, this guy's going to be a two-guard, and, you know, maybe he can play some point, and maybe somewhere down the road he can be a point if you need him to be. But I think they're committed to the youth here the last 7-8 weeks, and you're going to see those guys play as much as they can. And even a guy like Tyus Jones, the guy who played at Duke last year, a local kid from Apple Valley who hasn't played much, I think they're going to try to get him in. So you might see a bit of him tonight, too.
You mentioned the Minnesota Timberwolves' young talent. It's certainly very high end. They do possess the last 2 number all overall draft choices. And Karl-Anthony Towns looking like the runaway rookie of the year. Could you care to elaborate or even put the emphasis on, while I know Kevin Garnett will likely not play tonight, could you care at all to put the emphasis on what Kevin Garnett has mean to Anthony Towns and the other young players on the roster as well?
I mean, I think he's just been a guy there who, you know, they see even... you know, even if he's limited in how much he can play, usually he's the first guy, at least they tell me, that, you know, his first guy in every morning at 8:30, he's in there working, and he shows them a work ethic, you know. I'm not sure, you know, I think sometimes those things can be overstated a little bit about, you know, just how much a veteran can lead, but he is a guy they can go to whenever they've got questions, and he's always kind of, if you watch games, which he really wasn't a lot last year when he was not playing, but he's been on the bench, kind of in their ear all the time, sometimes yelling, a lot of times just giving them, encouragement, and I think there has been, you know, just to have somebody of that stature to see how he goes about and does his work every day, even when he's not playing, just to be around, I think it can't help but rub off in some ways.
Last question, because I know it's very relevant to people us here in Boston. What have you heard regarding Garnett, if you have heard anything, not just his decision this offseason, but possible future endeavors that lie ahead for him?
Well, he's made no, no secret that he wants to get involved in team ownership. Now, we'll see how that all folds out, because Glenn Taylor, their owner, is in the process of selling 30% of the team to a guy from L.A. who owns part of the, who had owned part of the Grizzlies, Steve Kaplan. And how that's going to work out, I think the idea there is for him to eventually buy controlling interest. So I don't know. I haven't really heard yet if Garnett's part of that, if that's going to work out. But, he's got a contract for one more year for next year for $8 million. And I don't know. I just can't see him the way he's been this year, the way he was last year being a player. I just can't see them going through this all over again with him, playing the first 30 games of the season and not being healthy enough to keep going. But he's got that contract, so I don't know what happens or if they buy him out, if he has takes up some kind of front office position. But it's pretty clear that, he can't play much anymore, and I'm not sure if he's going to want to go through another year of doing this. But maybe 8 million reasons speak louder than that. So we'll see. We'll see if he plays again this year. I mean, last year, they shut him down because they were clearly playing for the for lottery chances and to get themselves as many as they can get to get that number one pick, which happened. And he may still, play some here the rest of the year, but he is 39 years old.
Jerry Zagoda covering the Timberwolves for the Minneapolis Star Tribune at StarTribune.com. You can follow Jerry on Twitter at his namesake at Jerry Zagoda, Zgoda. Jerry, thanks so much for providing your insight to the CLNS radio airwaves once again.
All right, thank you.
Tonight's game is a part of the draft pick watch. Boston possesses Minnesota's second-round pick, and so with a win, the Celtics can help their cause there. The Dallas Mavericks, Boston owns their first-rounder, which is top-8 protected. They sit at 30-27 after beating the pathetic Philadelphia 76ers 129-103 last night. Dallas is currently a game ahead in the loss column from being out of the playoffs. And most importantly, last night the Brooklyn Nets fell at home to the Charlotte Hornets 104-96. The Nets are currently fourth worst in the NBA, and they now embark on a nine-game road trip facing seven Western Conference foes. Beginning tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time in Portland. Suffice to say, even though this is not journalistically ethical, go Blazers. As stated tonight, the Celts can do a little bit to help themselves in June with a win and, of course, help themselves today. Projections for tonight's game, the Celts are running at a 64% victory rate on online simulations. And their back-to-back streak, they've started another one. Boston has won the last five of the second half of back-to-backs after that otherworldly 10-game winning streak they had that began back during the 2015 season. They can make it six in a row with a win tonight. We all know they'd be all good to win. It'd be great to win, but it seems like they're definitely be a psychological difference if the Celtics come home with a win, making it a winning road trip. Feels like it just continued that momentum that was built upon with that stretch right before the All-Star break and then the long layoff. Lose tonight, you go 1-2. Maybe that outlook is very different. Would then put a greater emphasis on winning these upcoming games at home, as the Celtics do have a heavy home schedule when they get back, starting with the Bucks game Thursday night in these coming weeks. Boston, as I said, on Thursday, they're back at home with the Bucks. They've got some quality opponents with the Heat and Jazz over the weekend. But right now, they're definitely in a stretch here where they have an opportunity. Well, they always have an opportunity, I guess. But there's a greater opportunity to rack up some W's, further entrench themselves in the playoff picture, and position themselves for a higher seed. They are certainly some winnable games on the schedule, beginning with tonight. And, of course, actually beginning with last night, which the Celtics did do. They did take care of the Nuggets. One of those winnable games will be also 9 days from now, Wednesday, March 2nd, against the Portland Trailblazers. As a loyal listener of CLNS Radio, you can win tickets to that game. How do you enter? Simple. Follow at Celtics_beat on Twitter. That is at Celtics_beat. Give that a follow. One lucky follower will be drawn at random on the February 28th edition of Celtics Beat. That is this Sunday. We just announced the winner to the Bucks tickets on yesterday's show, which featured Steve Volpetta of the Boston Herald. That is in the CLNS Radio archives on iTunes, Stitcher, and CLNSradio.com for episode number 145 of Celtics Beat, which again featured Steve Volpett. Tonight's post-game show will go live on CLNSradio.com immediately following the final buzzer. Want to get your voice heard? Call in after the conclusion of the game, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771, or just go ahead and listen on CLNSradio.com. We will be back here Thursday for Boston's return to the Garden against the Milwaukee Bucks. Joining me will be Bucks reporter and NBA insider for the Racine Journal-Times, Gary Wolfel. But for today's Boston Celtics pregame show with LHR on CLNS Radio, this is LHR signing off.